Hello and welcome to the Halifax Courier's Talking Politics show with me, John Cronshaw. It's February 13th, 2015, and it's been an interesting week in the Calderdale political scene. We've had Craig Whittaker, the MP for Calder Valley, in a rooftop protest at Todmorden High. We've had Halifax MP Linda Reardon announcing that she's going to be standing down after the election. But the main subject of today's show is the People's Commission on Healthcare, which presented 15 recommendations to local health providers and commissioners. I spoke to the panel's independent chair, Professor Andrew Kerslake of Oxford Brookes University.
I mean, the temptation is always to partition this up, isn't it, and say, look, this is about A&E, or it's about Calderdale Royal versus Huddersfield Hospital, and that's the issue. But in a sense, you can't do that, because where A&E is located then becomes where the consultants are located. So that becomes which hospital are you going to do that in if you're going to divide it up into two, which then means how do you generate alternatives to A&E, which involves community services. So, you know, the whole thing, once you start to look at it, automatically starts to snowball. But, you know, I think it's not our job, or it's not the People's Commission job to tell the NHS what to do. But it is the People's Commission job, I think, both to reflect what people in Calderdale are thinking, but also I think to say, look, hold on, you know, you're saying this, you're planning to spend what would be a huge sum of money on this, we don't think you've made that case. And I think that was the strong message from the commission, that, you know, you're saying this is a good idea, you haven't proved it to us and you haven't proved it to the population. Obviously, I would hope that both the trusts listen to what the People's Commission is saying. It emanates from the council, which is a democratically elected body. I think the health service in general hasn't always felt comfortable with public engagement one way or another. I think local government's used to having people in, to shouting, to debating, to doing all of those things. You know, the CCG is a new body. It's not necessarily used to that. I think the hospital trusts across the country are not necessarily feeling accountable to their local populations. So my hope from this is one of these lessons is that, in effect, the Trust and the Health and Wellbeing Board can get together and say, look, let's come up with a sensible plan that we can actually put to people in Calderdale, and people are rational, they'll see whether this works or doesn't work. So, you know, I think that's kind of quite important. I think it is also that business of, I mean, at the moment with an election coming up, you know, you're going to hear a lot about the health service and you're going to hear a lot of rubbish talked, because people will make promises and claims that actually they know if they're in government they're probably not going to be able to deliver. And one of the things I said last night is by 2030 that population of over 90s will have increased by 60% in Calder. Now, you know, that's, if you think that's the population that has a greater use of the health service than others, you know, are we talking about that big an increase in expenditure locally? I don't think we are. I don't think any political party is saying that. So, you know, the key bit to this, as we were saying last night, is in addition to focusing on which hospital, where A&E is, you have to look at how you're going to take demand out of the health service. Or you're going to end up with a lesser service because you're going to be dividing less money into more patients.
To what extent do you think these issues are national, and to what extent do you think they're local?
I mean, the population growth is a national thing. You know, most local authorities, most health trusts up and down the land, they're going to face increased demand one way or another unless they take demand out of the system. So, you know, those issues about how do we manage an older population where that period of ill health prior to death is not reduced, how do we deliver that? And that's an issue that faces all community health services and all hospitals. I suppose the difference here is you do have a situation of one trust and two hospitals in two different towns. One, a brand new hospital, but one with a considerable level of debt on it, and one older hospital, but with land around it that could be redeveloped. Now, that situation isn't necessarily replicated everywhere. The issue and the case that the trust did not make is, as I said last night, if anybody looked at this, you'd naturally think, well, Calderdale's bound to be the hospital to be developed. It's the new one. It has the modern facilities. So I don't think the trust made that case well as to why you would have a planned and an unplanned. We know there are regional discussions going on. We know the clinical commissioning group are saying there's more than one option to this. So in a sense, there are some issues that are unique to here. You know, those things are not necessarily true everywhere. And of course, you do have the issue of both an urban population and a rural population. You know, if we were in, say, North Yorkshire, predominantly a rural population, then, you know, you're looking at how do you manage health across a huge, vast area. Here, you have a concentration of population in Halifax, but then a much wider rural area. And obviously, the further people live from Huddersfield, the more they're going to say, this is a really bad option. You know, and of course you're going to. You're not going to sit there and say, that's really good. You've just added an extra, you know, half an hour to a journey time. Shall I need to go to a hospital? Nobody's going to be in favour of that. But the test here is, should the trust go through these plans, what alternatives do you put in place? And as you heard last night, people saying, Tom Wooden, you know, there's a centre there. They don't feel it's fully utilised. And that's an issue about, you know, staffing. What do you put in? What equipment do you put in? How do you generate that as an alternative, if that's what's eventually decided?
Finally, on a kind of personal level, I mean, is there anything that you've learned from this experience that you'll take from this yourself, you know?
Yeah, when you turn off the recorder, answer that. I think what it, I mean, I made a reference to this last night. I think it does remind you that people do see hospitals as kind of, maybe status symbols is not quite the right word, but they do see them as security. You know, if you have a hospital, then if we are ill, we go to our hospital. And I think I knew that as a kid being brought up in Devon, in a small market town. But I think this exercise reminded me of that. And that's where it comes back to the trust, that if you're going to say we're going to change this hospital or we're going to make it different in some way, you've got to take people with you. You know, at the end of the day, this is a public service paid for by public money, by your taxes and my taxes. People want to feel that, you know, their hospital works well for them. Not that it doesn't function or it isn't there or it isn't available to them and the rest of it. So I think this exercise reminded me of that. I think also the other side of this is, you know, it does remind me that with that growing population of older people, the need now to make sure that communities work well for those people are very important. And I think, you know, some of this comes back to the council. Not just here, but in other places. You know, every time you build an out-of-town shopping centre and you take shops away from local neighbourhoods, it makes it harder for older people to stay within those communities. You know, if transport facilities don't work, if there's not drop curbs on the pavements, do you know, all of those kind of things. You know, if you are then ill and you're sitting in hospital and you're thinking it's really hard to come back home because of all those things, you're more likely to end up in a care home or you're more likely to end up with high expenditure. So I think that's why the Health and Wellbeing Board is the right place for this, because it isn't just what the Acute Trust does. It isn't just what the CCG does. It's what they do together and the local authority together that makes this a community that works well for those people who would have gone into hospital and helps to reduce that kind of healthcare demand.
Well, thanks for listening to the first episode of the Halifax Courier's Talking Politics show. I've been John Cronshaw. You can find out more about the People's Commission report in this week's Halifax Courier. You can also follow us on Twitter at HXCourier. The website is halifaxcourier.co.uk, and you can follow me personally on Twitter at HXCourierJohn, which is J-O-N. Until next time, cheerio.